And then I want to write a poem which has two versions, Prelude to an Evening. I won't read the first version, which has eight stanzas. They are four-line stanzas. They're with four stresses in each line and no final rhyme. At the ends of lines, unrhymed. And I had a mean streak going. Well, I think no poet is a saint. Well, he's not a complete poet if he is. And I think a poet never hesitates to deal with an ugly subject, provided there's something good about it. And so this was a mean poem about the man returning home to his wife rehearsing the speech that he wanted to make to her when she would ask him to go and babysit with his children, their own children, and teach them the names of the French kings, because they were studying a little French. Well, but he was like Edgar Allan Poe, or like the man in the doomed house, which fell, the house of Usher, who liked horrors, and he wanted to die with great pomp and horror, but he wanted to have a loving woman accompany his last vigils, and he is that sort of a man. And a young lady, a brilliant young lady who had been one of my graduate students at Vanderbilt, teaching now in a college herself. She was on the board of one of those little magazines that called themselves Explicator. French word, explication de texte. They straighten you out and tell you what, give the paraphrase, you know, which is forbidden us by some of the critics, but an honest critic, he has to do the best he can for his readers if there's some strangeness in the work. So he commits the fallacy of the paraphrase continually. And the query was that she was answering, what's the matter with that fellow? How could he say such things? And she replied, oh, it's very simple. He's just a big brute, and he's not going to sit with any babies, even if they're his own babies. And I felt greatly relieved when I read that. That was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And you see, I'd reached an age, I think I must have been at least as old as Chaucer was when he had to recant from some of the heretical things he had said in his poems. And so I said, I'll just do a little recanting, and I'm going to have a happy ending in that poem. And then any poet is delighted to reprint again, because he always sees how he can touch up certain lines and put some new beauties in. And so the eight lines, the eight stanzas grew into 13, with a second stanza, one of the new ones, and then after the ninth stanza, four more new ones, in which the recantation occurs and the happy ending happens. I'll read you only the complete poem, Prelude to an Evening. Do not enforce the tired wolf dragging his infected wound homeward to sit tonight with the warm children, saying the pretty kings of France. You are my scholar. Then languish, expire, with each day's terror and next week's doom, till we're twice espoused in love and ruin, and grave but smiling as the heavens fall. The images of the invaded mind were monstrous only in the dreams of your most brief enchanted headful. Suppose a miracle of confusion that dreamed and undreamt become each other and mix the night and day of your soul. For it never mattered your twice crying from mouth unbuted against the pillow to evite the gun of the same old soldier, if quickly cry, cockcrow, or bell, breaking the improbable black spell, annihilated the poor phantom. And now, to confirm our strange supposal, your monsters wait upon sunniest mornings. You in your peignoir commend the heaped oranges, gold on the platter for cheeky and children, but freeze at the turbulence under the floor where unclean spirits yawn and thrash. The day-long clock will strike your fears, the heels detonating the stairs cavern, freshening the water in the blue bowls for the buckberries with not all your love. You listen for a low, lost wind to awaken the warning whisper of our sentinel pine. Finally, evening, hear me denouncing our equal and conniving furies. You making nose, but they lack conviction, smoothing the heads of the hungry children. And that was the ending of the old poem. Now four more stanzas. I would have was magnificent at my coming, two souls tight clasped and a swamp of horrors. Oh, you shall be handsome and brave at fearing. Now my step quickens and meets a huge no. Whose no was it? Like the hoarse policeman's clapping on stage in the name of the law. That was me, forbidding tricks at homecoming, at the moment of coming to its white threshold. I went to the nations of disorder to be quit of the memory of good and evil. There even your image was disfigured. Then the boulevards rocked. They said, go back. Here I am. And to balk my ruffian, I bite the tongue, rehearsing all that treason, then creep in my wounds to the sovereign flare of the room where you shine on the good children. The idea of the sovereign flare, the king is a sovereign, and his touch heals any wound. So I had a little double meaning there. Well, I felt relieved after that recantation.